Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So it's after lunchtime, so very sleepy time. So I will try my best to make my presentation as not boring as possible. So as if, Steve said, our chairman and CEO, Paul Scholz, couldn't make it. So I'm going to make this presentation on his behalf. But don't worry. Anyway, those slides are made by me. So I am the best person in the world to do this presentation, in my opinion. So let me introduce myself, as I am new to this industry. So I joined Aeon at the beginning of this year as a successor of Shinji Yamamoto as the managing director for the team of Japan. So before Aeon, I had 22 years of career. My first career was with C3 for 5 years. I joined C3 as a part of a new graduate, global new graduate program. I worked in Zurich, Hong Kong, and Tokyo, mainly as property underwriter for NatCat. After 5 years, I joined Mizuho, and I spent 17 years with Mizuho. Out of that 17 years, I spent 9 years in US. In between, I was senior IR officer for the group. And last 2 years, I was working for Mizuho Securities USA in New York, which is XRBS operation in the States that Mizuho purchased several years ago, doing investment banking products such as ABS, IPO, and ESG bond, and so on. So this position at Aeon Securities for me is a mixture of my experience of reinsurance, property, NatCat underwriting, as well as capital market businesses. So APAC region is one of the most important market for Aeon and Aeon Securities. So that's why I would like to talk about APAC and cat bond market. So I would like to start with quite basic information of APAC. Do you know how many people are living in APAC region? Anyone? Any? Okay. So actually, APAC region has a population of 4.5 billion. So world population, so it's 60% of world population of 79 billion. So more than 50% population are living in this region. And talking of actually size of population, I would like to compare with the size of GDP. So APAC region has grown by 21 times since 1960, and now accounts for more than 30% of global economy. So GDP in total is close to $30 trillion. But as you can find, so population-wise, 60%, GDP-wise, 30%. So I strongly believe that this 30% will keep up with the 60% in the future. So I would like to introduce, okay. So APAC cat losses and protection gap that have been discussed in previous sessions in 2022. So there are several major cat loss events happened in 2022, such as flood in Pakistan. In terms of economic losses, actually close to 50% of economic losses in the region is coming from flooding. So, and China, Shanghai had hottest day on record since records began in 1873. So the temperature went up to 40.9 Celsius. But what I would like to say here is the protection gap. As you can find on the right-hand side, so APAC region has protection gap of 86%, according to our analysis. So, and which is much higher than the other region, such as US, EMEA, and even compared with global average. So talking of protection gap, I would like to talk about protection side. So this is a history of ILS cat bond issuance in APAC region. The first transaction of cat bond was Tokyo Marine, a Japan earthquake transaction in 1997. It's a parametric re transaction. Since then, APAC region has been evolving a lot. But until 2011, the frequency of cat bond insurance is not that high, but it's changed in 2011 when Tokyo Marine issued a cat bond, of which trigger was indemnity, so Kizuna transaction, so that many cedent companies in Japan, they could install as complementary capacity into their traditional reinsurance treaty structures. So so after that, almost every year, there are issuers issuing cat bond. And actually, toward the next renewal, I and my team in Japan are heavily involved in the discussion already to issue new cat bond, including prospectus, new issuers. So in addition to Japan, which used to be just a dominant player in the market, so there are new trends. So in 2015, so there was a first cat bond covering China earthquake, so it was taken up as well, Pandori. And in 2018, first APAC-sponsored sidecar transaction. And of course, this year, the EQC transaction, there was EQC transaction, which I am going to touch upon later. So in this history, there are several changes we noticed that I would like to talk about. So there are several changes in the past history. So 4 points. One is the pricing, the second one is the modeling, the third one is regulatory framework, and the last one is flexibility. So in the past, compared to traditional reinsurance treaties, pricing has to be too high for ILS solutions. So that's, and including, in addition to that, transaction cost is high, so that's why it's a comparison of with traditional reinsurance program is that it's less attractive, and there was a minimum late online issue for ILS market cat bond transactions, so resulting in some kind of less efficiency. But at present, now, the convergence of traditional and cat bond rates. So traditional rates now is increasing. So increased 20% plus. And cat bond pricing, thanks to influx of the new capital, spread now decreasing. So that leads to highly competitive cat bond pricing. So second point, modeling. So in terms of modeling, so less developed risk models and a higher contribution from secondary perils. So absence and or infancy of risk quantification. But now, increasingly, so robust region and peril-specific models are introduced. So increasingly sophisticated models are emerging with greater understanding of non-peak risks. The third one, regulatory framework. So it used to be lack of prospective regulation and or additional regulatory requirement increases challenges for investors, for insurers. But now, so regulators becoming welcoming of IS products, CatBond. And CatBond structure and IS structure can comply with most regulatory regimes. That's a big change. So in addition to those three, a CatBond products and IS products are more flexible. And for smaller limit, we can do private CatBond. And for, let's say, efficiencies, maybe 144A public type of CatBond. So those are the changes we noticed from in the history of CatBond insurance in APEC region. So this is the global update of CatBond market. So after Hurricane Ian, CatBond pricing went up by 70 to 80%, which attract fresh capital to CatBond market. And so thanks to the influx of the new capital, so first half of 2023 transactions achieved overwhelming support, and most pricing below launch guidance. So 70% of the new insurance in the first half ended up with the lowest end of launch guidance. And upsizing was almost 65%. So thereby, as you can find on the right-hand side, so insurance amount is close to 10 billion, so 9.67 billion US dollars, which is of course a record high. And we expect maturity of 4 billion towards the end of this year. So for sure, this year would be the historical largest amount of insurance for CatBond market. So in terms of geographical CatBond outstanding limit, out of 39 billion outstanding balance, which is record high, 80% of the CatBond amount, CatBond are the perils of North America, so U.S. Hurricane, U.S. earthquake. And only 5% of the of APAC only accounts for 5%. So this 5% are mainly Japan earthquake and wind flood. But please look at on the right-hand side. So in 2018, the percentage of APAC was 15%. But less insurance from APAC region, as well as U.S. peril insurance, which is massive, the percentage goes down to 5%. So now it's getting lower. But so this means the investors' demand for diversified peril, especially from APAC region, is getting stronger. As evidenced in the recent EQC transaction. So so this is the first New Zealand sponsor CatBond. And in New Zealand, local currency dominated CatBond is first transaction as well. So this CatBond capacity, let's say, is being used complementary capacity for EQC's 8.2 billion New Zealand dollars reinsurance program. And the domicile for this transaction is Singapore. So I would like to talk about a new trend, so cyberspace, which was also already taken up in the previous sessions. So cyber primary insurance has been on the growth by more than 20% annually. So currently, the premium size in the primary market is more than 10 billion, but we expect this would grow further. So in 5 years, it's going to be more than 30 billion, we expect. So, and CatBond, there was a first cat bond transaction by B3 as on the right hand side, but I am going to skip it. So, and but as you so APAC region is not only for issuers, but also for the investors as well. So as you can find on the left hand side, so 25% of global investable asset is coming from APAC. It's an institutional money. But compared to that, only 5 to 10% IRS asset is from APAC. So there should be some kind of, let's say, gap, or maybe possibility to fill the gap in the future. So, and in addition to that, so according to our calculation, so the correlation to major asset classes of cat bond is only 0.2, which is almost no correlation. And so the asset class of cat bond IRS should be very attractive, with considering return of 10% of IRS return in 2023 year to date. So, so this is the amount of IRS product outstanding issued from APAC region. So in 20 plus years, it went up by 15 times. And of course, we have huge population, huge potential of growth of economies, and so on. So we expect further growth in the region. And Aeon, we are committed to support the growth in the future. Thank you.